Okay, James suggested some more Q and A then. Any questions you guys have? Well, like I say, the comment I have on what Curtis says was that, you know, there's a lot of people hurting out there and a lot of people lacking, and we can't help everybody, and that's the big excuse many of us have for not doing more. But you can help somebody, especially within your immediate realm. You can help people, and if we all help what we can, then my theory is that everybody will have sufficient for their needs if we all do our share. And if everybody in the universe, if everybody on planet Earth had that idea that we could all make the difference that we can make, then, you know, all those starfish would be thrown back in the sea. As it was, it was just one guy throwing them back in. But if everybody that goes to the beach would throw a few back in, then they'd all be thrown in. And the problem those starfish had was there was only one guy doing it.
What'd you say?
Well, you could get a tool like the bulldozer and do a 1,000 at a time.
Yeah,
right.
Hey, there you go.
Technology.
Okay, well, I'll continue with my presentation. Let me see where did I put my notes here. Okay, I'll continue just briefly on the law of correspondences. Okay, we talked about the seven kingdoms here upon the earth, mineral, vegetable, human, and so on. Now, DK talks about that there are various cities representing centers of countries. Like in the United States, he didn't give them all, but he did give a couple. Can you guess what cities in the United States he gave?
New York.
Yeah, New York. New York and
Boise?
No, he didn't give Boise. He talked about New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, he said was the heart center of this country. And Washington, D.C., he said was the head center and representing Ray Wan. New York, I believe, is the creative center. I always thought that Detroit, when the book was written, because they manufactured so many cars there, everything represented the sacral center, which is the physical creative center. But it's probably shifted now. I'm not sure where that would be now, because the centers shift as the energy shifts around. So Detroit is almost turned into a ghost town. Back in the days when they were really making automobiles, it probably represented that center. Now, there's also certain towns, certain cities represent centers for the entire planet. And he talks about five major cities representing centers for the planet. And they are London, New York, Tokyo, Geneva, and Darjeeling. Now, Geneva and Darjeeling aren't any bigger than Boise. So they aren't built so much on how big they are, but the type of energy that it's accumulating. And he says there's two more centers yet to be activated on planet Earth, representing the third eye and the center at the top of the head. One is will be in Africa, and one will be in Australia. And these will be cities that will be built, he says, in the future that will represent the higher centers of humanity. And so these are all based on the law of correspondences.
On that thought pattern, there's one of the teachers in South Africa is talking about the northern hemisphere being the male conscious territory.
Yeah.
In that, if you think about it, no war has ever been started by a country in the southern hemisphere. No major world war, and we as humanity for this period of time have been male-centered consciousness, and the world is now leading into a female consciousness, and where the southern hemisphere is starting to take.
Okay, that's a good point. He's talking about male and female, that the northern part of the planet represents the male, and all the wars start there. And also a lot of inventions start there, which is kind of a male energy to invent things and stuff like that. And the females are more nurturing. And so we have the two energies that make up an entire universe, and there's a tremendous number of correspondences between the male and female energies, starting with the positive and negative energies in the atom itself. And this corresponds to the male and female bodies correspond to the male and female energies, which is sending and receiving radiant, magnetic, or gravity or magnetism represent the female. In other words, a radiant energy sends the energy out into the universe. The magnetic energy pulls everything together. And don't you females feel that way, that you hold everything together, whereas the males are kind of scattering everything? It's a natural thing. Women can really identify with that. And the interesting part about the female energy is it's invisible. And this is why the female is always complaining they don't get noticed very much, because their energy is invisible. Can you see magnetism? Can you see gravity? No, you can't even see it, can you? Can you see what holds the universe together? You can't see it. You can see the effects of the female energy, but you can't see the female energy. But the male energy is radiant. Can you see the sun? Yeah, you can see the sun, and you can certainly tell it's there. That's why throughout history, the males have got so much credit for everything. And matter of fact, the female energy has been so ignored that a lot of females figure the radiant energy is all there is, so a lot of females try to be like males instead of using their own energy. And this gets them out of their energy. And so our past has been distorted and corrupted to a great degree because female energy has been misunderstood. And it's interesting that a word to describe females is the female mystique. It's because there's a mystery behind the female energy. It's because it's invisible. We know something's there. I mean, us guys are certainly attracted to the females. They certainly look a lot better than we do, for one thing. And so we're very, very attracted to them, but we don't know why. You know, oftentimes somebody marries somebody else. I don't know why I was so attracted to her. I just was. I mean, it was an amazing thing. So it's amazing how females are so magnetic. And see the difference between males and females. If you're ever in a bar where there's a lot of dancing and carousing and everything and people trying to hustle each other, it's the male and female approach is so much different. A good-looking female who's dolled herself up and all ready to capture some guy, what does she do? Does she go in and hustle some guy, go up, sit next to him and say, hey, can I buy you a drink? Does she ever do that? I've never had a girl do that to me. No, she'll go, just all she has to do is go sit at a table. Sit down and that's it. That's all she has to do and let her magnetism work. And if she's made herself very attractive, the guy's under the room and he looks around. Does he think he'd just go and sit at a table and just sitting there? No. He looks around and he sees that girl sitting at a table and he feels, all of a sudden he feels something. He feels a magnetism. He feels drawn to her. Even if he's a happily married man, he'll look and think, wow. You ever walking down the street with your one and only and some good looking female walks by and she'll say, I saw that. You can't help but notice any magnetic female if you're a radiant guy. And so the guy enters the bar or the dance floor and he sees a good-looking female sitting alone there at the table, and she doesn't have to do anything. She just has to sit there and let her magnetism do the work. It's invisible. It's unseen. It's an invisible force that's put out, and he's radiant active. Because he's radiant active energy, he moves. He moves in her direction, sits down and says, hey, can I buy you a drink? Or, hey, I seem to drop my Medal of Honor around here somewhere. Have you seen it? But, you know, some clever line. Us guys are always trying to show how funny and clever we are. And so he uses all this active energy to try to capture this this female. But the interplay between males and females and the courting world really demonstrates the difference. Magnetism, gravity versus radiant activity. Tremendous difference in the two energies. And these are the two energies that make the whole universe work. It's like the oxygen atoms are the male in water, and the hydrogen are the female. The oxygen atom sends out, it has an extra electron, and it sends out to the hydrogen atom, and it shares with it, and it brings it in, and it uses, and they all balance each other off. All the atoms that form molecules are out of balance. They're missing something in their outer electron shells, and they share with each other to balance off that energy, and it makes them feel a little closer together. But even when a molecule is created, it's still a little bit out of balance. So molecules join with other molecules to get more balance. And then they create larger elements like cells. And then the cells are still a little bit out of balance, so they create more cells, join together to create more balance still. And what we do is creation continues, seeking greater and greater balance. We, as human beings, are still somewhat out of balance. Us guys have too much radiant energy. The females have too much magnetic energy, and we feel like we need something. We need to balance each other off. And so we balance each other off. We form unions. And still, we're not completely balanced, but if you get a good partner, you feel more balanced than you were before. And so eventually, we will seek greater associations. We do this to some extent with our friends. One couple will make friends with other couples, and they visit, and they feel a little bit more balanced and at peace because they have good friends they can associate with and create greater balance with. And we keep seeking greater and greater balance, and this will happen throughout the whole universe until we reach a point of maximum balance. When we reach a point of maximum balance, billions of years from now, what's going to happen? The universe will fold back up, and it will go back down to its original point of origin. We'll have a period of what's called Pralaya, the Great Rest, which will be a time period equal to the period of creation itself. And then we'll have another great Big Bang, and we'll have a new universe created again, and we'll do this all over again, but a little bit better and different than before.